Hello again. You and I live in a world that is filled with what seems like endless things to do. We can stay constantly busy with working and what is dubbed things to do throughout our whole day. Yet when it comes to slowing down and finding time alone with God, we suddenly are at a loss as to how we can fit God into our schedule. We also might make excuses for why we need to get something else done first before spending time with Him. And then, at the end of the day, we forget that we were even planning to spend time with Him. Now, I realize that there may be a few things that would need our attention, like a crying newborn, making breakfast or even supper for the family, some emergency happens, and things like that. We've all had things like these happen, and we may not spend time with God because of them. But what I am referring to is any daily activity within our control that we let devour our time on a daily basis, deeming it necessary to check our emails or glance at a funny video that has appeared at the top of our social network site are definitely two of them among many examples. Things like this tend to draw our focus away from what we intended to do to begin with. And I don't know about you, but a day without one-on-one time with God can be such a miserable day. Jesus knew the importance of spending quality time with the Father each day. We see in Luke chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1 that he rose up before sunrise and went into a solitary place to pray. He knew how valuable it was to one's spirit, soul, and body to have time away from the distractions and the daily routines to be alone with God. You see, things do happen when we are alone with God. In the Old Testament, many times God called his prophets to come to him alone, away from the turmoil that existed in the land where they were. Moses met God alone at a burning bush. God's presence passed by when Elijah was alone in a cave, and so on. In my own private times with God, I have found them to be inspiring and fulfilling. They have touched my heart and calmed my mind. In one-on-one time with God, I have heard his voice more plain and clear than when I was in a church service. Sometimes I have received an answer for a problem that I have been waiting for a long time. The time I spend with God makes me feel more close to him than I am before retreating from the world to be with him one-on-one. God wants intimacy with us. When hearing the word intimacy, one may think of sexual contact, but the first definition that comes up in a dictionary is this: it is a close familiarity or friendship. Words like attachment, confidentiality, and understanding also describe this word. A husband and wife can have intimacy by sharing their inmost thoughts with each other. They can confide in each other, understand each other, and become so attached to each other in dependency and be intimate because of just doing these things. They have a closer bond than if they just knew each other as friends or passing acquaintances. God wants a closer bond with us besides our few hours in church with Him, a few thoughts each morning of Him, and our prayers of desperation to Him when something goes wrong. He created intimacy so two individuals could become stronger together. This is why He said that the man and woman were one. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, Jesus said that the man and woman are no more two, but one flesh. It wasn't just because of the sexual intimacy, but it was because of all intimacy between them. And guess what? When we are spending intimate times with God, we are one with Him. We act more like Him, and He is able to tell us hidden things that we would not usually know if we weren't so close to Him. We become even more in harmony with his character and his actions. There are four types of intimacy: emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical. God created marriage for physical, emotional, and mental intimacy. But the spiritual intimacy is only for He and us. And we have to develop this intimacy into a more mature relationship with Him as we live. You have to develop intimacy with Him because, as a child has the capability for many things, but he or she hasn't developed them yet, so we must develop our intimacy with God. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. He prays for the disciples and all who would believe on Him through their message. He prays that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Being one with the Father and the Son means that we are in such union with the Father and the Son that they know our thoughts and we know their thoughts, with as much as we can stand right now in our limited minds. Having an intimate, one-on-one relationship with God brings such oneness that all of our being is walking according to His design for our life, His perfect plan becoming a reality. We need this one-on-one time with God like we need air to breathe, food to eat, and rest for our bodies. We need it to survive and thrive. Here are a few hints that might help when you want to have an intimate moment with God. First, when it comes to the web, television, and other devices, if we have a difficult time focusing on God because these devices distract us, then maybe we need to get a Bible that is printed in book form in order to aid in our time with God. If we avoid distractions and let God's Holy Spirit speak to us one-on-one, then what we hear from Him will be more direct, more beneficial, and more important than what we could hear from any minister on any website who is preaching. The internet devices are a blessing in that we can hear a general word from the Lord at any time, but they can also be used by the devil as a distraction to keep us from hearing specifically what we need to hear from God in an intimate setting. If the Lord wants to speak to us about our calling, for example, then we cannot get from mankind's preaching, although it may be anointed by God, what we need to receive from the Holy Spirit directly in our one-on-one times with Him. Anyone who goes to church hoping that an evangelist or a prophet will have a word from the Lord just for them will probably not get a word from the Lord spoken just to them. The reason is because God wants to speak direct things to our heart that are specific and not through our ears. Or the evangelists and prophets out there who are wolves in sheep's clothing will give us a message that is erroneous and deceptive. It could do more damage than if a person had never even listened to their word from the Lord, as they say. God wants to speak to us directly and in confidentiality also. In the past, I've had a word from the Lord spoken over me several times in my life, only to find out that they were giving something to me just so the evangelist or prophet could perform for the congregation. When you compare a so-called word from the Lord that someone gives you with what the Bible says, and find that the word from the Lord is inconsistent with what God has been saying throughout His word, then don't believe it, no matter how good it sounds. Another thing is to not go into an intimate setting with God with a list of things to ask from Him. Someone may ask, why not? He did say in His word, ask and it shall be given you. Well, the answer is that you want to enter into His presence with praise and adoration, to approach God's throne with thanksgiving in your heart. After you have connected with God on an intimate level, then He will do as Psalms 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. To receive the desires of our heart, we must delight in Him first. If God were to give everybody anything that they ask for, only to receive no fellowship from us, then all we have gained is stuff, without intimacy. Besides, Why ask when this verse says that he shall give our desires to us without asking? Deuteronomy chapter 28 starts out by saying that if we do what God says to do, then the blessings will come upon us and overtake us. We won't have to go seeking them out. Matthew 6 verse 33 says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we will have what we need. What would you think of a child who just wanted to get into their mother's arms only when they wanted to ask for something? That is not training up a child in the way that they should go if we just give them things and don't have a close relationship with them. If a child just loved on his or her mother, then she would be more moved to get them whatever they wanted, without them even asking. Sometimes, as a parent, you can tell what your child wants even before they open up their mouth. This is even more true with our Heavenly Father. Now, I am not saying that we shouldn't ask for anything when we have an intimate moment with God, but I am saying that being closer to Him should be our highest and first goal. Another practical thing is, have a pen and some paper beside you when spending one-on-one time with God. If God tells you something profound, you may want to jot it down on paper so you can come back to it later. Then, you can continue in an intimate time with Him. Also, if something comes to your mind that you need to do, also write it down so the flow of your love to God and His flow of love to you will not be disrupted. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15 give us some hints as to what we can do when we pray and spend intimate moments with God. These are helpful. Verses 5 through 6 say to go somewhere in private to pray. As we already saw, Jesus went off to a remote place to pray. You may not be able to find a remote place, especially if your house is full of children. It may not be a situation of where to go as when to do. You may have your private time with God in the morning, afternoon, or evening. Sometimes it could be at night. You just have to be careful not to wake others up if the nighttime is your one-on-one time with God. Verses 7 through 8 tell us that God knows us and we don't have to repeat something many times because He knows our need before we even speak. If you don't know what to say, then just remember that you can talk with God like you can talk to your best friend. After all, He is your best friend. He is a friend who sticks closer than your closest relative. And you don't have to sound intelligent to God. Just speak with Him about whatever is on your heart. If you don't have anything to say, then open up your Bible and read out loud until God sparks something inside of you. Stop at that point and meditate upon it until He speaks. Then I'm sure that you'll have things to talk about with God at that point. Verses 9 through 13 give us an example, a model prayer, that we can pray as is, or we can pray similarly to it by exalting God and then speaking from our heart to His heart. Verses 14 through 15 give us a warning against attempting to have an intimate time with God while walking in unforgiveness. Why is unforgiveness such a hot topic when it comes to prayer? Because God cannot see past a hatred for hatred attitude. God's way is love. We have to walk in it in order to be close to God, to have intimate moments with Him. He loved the world before the world loved Him. Jesus forgave those who condemned Him to die before He died. A giving, God kind of love opens up the avenue for God's power to flow in and through you to others. By forgiving as Jesus forgave, we could also be helping to draw others to God. It could be changed by our kindness, which they themselves may not have, but desperately want. We could forgive them and pray for their eyes to be opened to the truth of God's love, so that they could receive His forgiveness and be born again. That would be the ultimate revenge against the devil who used them to hurt us, and they would also receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. As the book of James says in the last verse, one who is converted will be saved from eternal death. Forgiveness can lead to intercession, which can lead to a changed heart. Don't hate the hater. Just recognize that they are loved by God as much as we are. Pray for them, and maybe God can use you to lead them to Him and gain eternal life. Spend as much one-on-one time with God as you can. We have 24 hours in one day. Shouldn't we be able to take a little of that and give our attention solely to the one who wants to spend time with us? It is a great investment that we could spend our time on, and it gives out great revenue, both now and into eternity. Father, I pray for those who know that they need more one-on-one time with you. Help them to see how valuable it would be and how important it is to take the time to both speak to you and hear your voice, one-on-one. May they develop a desire to spend more time with you than anything that may have been more important than you. Help them to develop a daily time of intimacy between you and them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.